Well, as I was looking at this week's text, so struck again by a truism, if you will, that we all want answers. There's something about human beings that hates uncertainty. We are so averse to uncertainty that we will make up things to answer our questions. We will read things into coincidences and all the rest because it brings a sense of certainty, of solidity to what we need the most, which changes from day to day, of course. All you have to do is hang around a youngish person who's interested in someone else, and they will have all kinds of interesting interpretations on what the rest of us would consider random acts by this second person that brings some sense of this is what's happening. And we look at adolescents who are doing this when they're figuring out how relationships work, and we think, well, okay, that's kind of amusing and all that. We do exactly the same thing as adults, as any age. Superstitions are a desire to bring order to chaos. And while, of course, we don't believe in superstitions, how many of you at least once have thought, I better wear that shirt again if I want my team to win or whatever it might be? We do this. It's just who we are. And if we're aware of it, then we can pay attention to that and not put us in poor situations because we want answers. Preferably easy answers to the questions that we have. And we want that to all of our questions, whether they're questions of morality or ethics, arithmetic, politics, physics, doesn't matter. We want a nice answer. That works really well in arithmetic. I've been told it works well in physics. I'm not equipped really to say that one way or the other. It doesn't work all that often or all that easily in the questions that really matter, questions of morality, of ethics. The fact that we want answers and we want them now doesn't mean those answers are necessarily there. When we look at the Old Testament, which we tend to avoid for all kinds of reasons, not least of which some of it's hard to understand, some of the parts we do understand, we don't like, there's still things there for us that are as applicable now as they ever have been, as long as we know where to look. And as we heard this morning, as Chuck read for us, Job is asking questions. Where is God when things don't go the way we want? That was Job's question, but it's also ours. And I'm not talking about, to go back to the trivial example, we're not that interested where God was when the Rough Riders got blown out 31-0. We just look at that as a sign of the fall and that evil sometimes triumphs and we move on. Okay, we don't look at that. I know many lovely people in Winnipeg. But we do ask those questions when things that really matter go wrong. And not just they don't go our way, but things that happen that make no sense to anyone. People who we love dearly, who die before their time. Those plans that we have that everything that we can see suggests that they are good things we want to accomplish. When we discuss what we want to do with other people, they all say that's a good thing to do, and it just doesn't work. We're disappointed. Not because we didn't get something that we shouldn't have had in the first place, but because something that everyone seems to think would be a good thing didn't happen. Where's God then? Well, when we look at what Job is asking, he's not even asking some of those sort of obvious questions. Job is asking, where's God at all? Job says, even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. Job saying, if only I knew where God was. He says, if I go to the east, he isn't there. If I go to the west, north, south. Job is saying, not only do I not have answers, I don't even have the person who can answer the question around. And we look at this, and I've had some people suggest, well, of course God couldn't be found because Job just wanted to ask him questions that he shouldn't have asked in the first place. Except Why should Job not ask these questions? Why should we not ask these questions? There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Not of the people around us, not of God. If we don't ask questions, how will we ever get answers? It's one of the most aggravating things about dealing with other human beings is they don't ask us when we can answer. Doesn't that just drive you crazy? When you find out later that somebody needed something, they needed information, they needed help, whatever it might have been, they needed something that you could have provided and they never asked you. Questions are a good thing. Now, it helps if you've got a good reason for the question. It helps if you ask it in a reasonably civil way. But questions in and of themselves aren't bad. And our desire for answers isn't bad. The difficulty with us in answers comes when we say that the answer has to be what we want it to be. And that the answer has to be simple. That it has to be straightforward. It has to be black or white even. And those difficult questions aren't that easy. Those difficult questions tend not to have either or answers. Anyone who's listened to me for any length of time knows how much I dislike this either or way of thinking, especially in myself. This isn't something that I look at other people and go, oh, if only you were like me. I fight with this in myself all of the time. Because I want things to come down to an either or, and I pick the right one and it is 100% right, except it's not that simple. And it's not that simple for Job either. It's not that simple for us. Because when we think of these answers that we want, they're hardly ever the answers between good and bad. When was the last time anybody you know, let alone yourself, authentically prayed whether they should steal something today or not? We never think that. That's not a difficult question. That's not a question we even ask. The questions we ask are, what should we do between this multiplicity of things we could do when we're young and our life, so to speak, is in front of us and we have all these options? Or in other parts of our life, when we ask the question, why? There's no easy answer to why people are in the hospital. Oh, we want one, and we'll often get one. It's not terribly helpful. Somebody's in the hospital because there's sin somewhere is not a helpful answer. Probably isn't even true. We want to know why. And Job wanted to know why. His friends weren't terribly helpful. On my bad days, I look at Job's friends and think, oh, those people are terrible. On my better days, I look at them and think, how many times have I been one of those friends to somebody else? Somebody's in the midst of some kind of a crisis, some kind of a difficulty that is completely beyond them and beyond me, and I've given them some handful of platitudes that don't help at all instead of just sitting and listening. When we look to the end of the reading that we had out of Job, we have a very interesting couple of verses. In this translation, it says, God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. Job is a very poetic book. It's not the book to go for your either or answers. So what is Job saying here? Or what is God saying to us through Job? Job is at the end of his rope. He's lost everything that you can lose and still be alive. And he says, my heart is faint, which I think is poetic terms for I am at the end of my rope and I have nothing else, nothing left. He says that God has terrified him. And it's not that God has appeared and frightened him. It's that this silence, this lack of answer is what's getting him. But he says, I'm not silenced by the darkness. The answer to these questions that we get no answer for is to keep asking. Is to keep connection with where the answer may come from. The temptation for Job, and the temptation is personified in his wife, to just depending on your translation, bless God or curse God and die, and just say that's it, it's over. I don't have any more questions, I don't care anymore, there is no answer, that's just all there is to it. That's not where we want to go. That's not where we want to end up. Because if we read the book of Job and we stop at the end of chapter 23, then yeah, there are no answers. And admittedly, the answer of the book of Job, when you read the whole thing, is pretty pat. And helps us see that this is not a historical reference in the same way that, say, a news story is. The way it's all neatly tied up at the end is quite possibly somebody else long after the poem was written trying to make it make sense to them. But there's still a lesson there for us as well. Things do make sense in the end. It's just we don't know where the end is. Things do make sense, but they may not make sense to us, which I think we're allowed to find very frustrating. I know I do. But I take a certain amount of comfort in the number of things that I now understand that I didn't 25 or 35 or 45 years ago. And I'm not just talking about information that I've now brought into my brain that I can't, you know, forget. It's just a fact I've learned. There are things I've learned about people that I simply didn't know when I was 15, even when I was 25. It takes time to learn that people are complex and they don't always do what you think they should. But when you look at them carefully, you'll find that they're almost always doing the best they can. And if it doesn't work out well for you, that doesn't mean they were trying to be unpleasant. They were trying to cause you problems. The vast majority of people you meet wish you nothing but well. When you're 15, that's hard to figure out. You just haven't learned that yet. You find it hard to believe because at 15, you're very much a black and white kind of person. It's just a developmental thing. It's part of the way your brain works. And eventually you learn that there are nuances to people's behavior, and it makes it so much easier to deal with difficult people. Because when you look at their difficulties, you look at them as a difficult, or as a person who's presenting difficulties to you, not a person who is fundamentally difficult, because there are very few of those. I learned that over time. I wouldn't really have enjoyed hearing at 15 that one day I'd learn that, because I'd wanted to know it then. So I don't really enjoy hearing it now, that there are things that I might never understand. There might be questions for which I get no answer here, ever. So what do we do? Well, Job has given us a hint, where Job says that even in the midst of God, who has frightened him with what's happening, and in the silence of God, we have some benefits that Job didn't have. We've got Jesus. The same God in this Old Testament, the Trinity, still worked. Jesus didn't pop into existence, you know, at conception, like we do. But Jesus changed things. And the key to this, as much as anything, is found in our Hebrews reading, at the end of that. Because what Job is alluding to, and what I think he actually does, is made clear for us by the writer of Hebrews. That when we have these questions that have no answers, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. And we approach this throne of grace through Jesus, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's the answer. The answer is we approach the throne of grace with confidence. It doesn't say we'll get the answer we want. It says that our part, in the midst of these questions that we have that have no answer, or at least don't have any kind of an easy answer, in the midst of these questions that perhaps we'll never get any kind of satisfaction for, we approach the throne of grace, and we approach it with confidence. Because we look at these questions, and in the midst of all the difficulties that we have or that we see, we know that there's a God who loves us. A God for whom these things that make no sense to us do make sense. These questions that we see no answer for, God has one. Will we know what that answer is anytime soon? Perhaps we will. But if we don't, the answer is to keep coming to the throne of grace, to approach with confidence a God who loves us more than we will ever know, to bring these questions again and again, looking for the comfort that comes from going to the source of the answer, if not the answer itself. By bringing these concerns, these worries, these questions that have no answer to God and saying, I don't understand this, I want an answer. And as I wait for an answer, I'll ask for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to help me live through this uncertainty. There's nothing wrong with wanting answers. But if we give up when we don't get the answer we want, or when the answer isn't as straightforward as we want, or in the form we want, well, then we've really lost everything. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep asking these questions. We need to keep asking for the answers. But until we get them, we need to keep coming. We need to keep approaching the throne of grace with confidence, because that's where we receive mercy, and that's where we find the grace we need in the time that we need help. Amen.